Okay.
Got it?
Yep.
Ready? All right. Good morning again.
Good morning.
Good to have Mr. Francine and the girls with us today. Danielle. And Monique. Drove all the way from Jamaica to get here, so what's your excuse? But good to have them with us. They'll be here with us for a little while, so I'll be gone from there. Yeah, amen to that. Amen to that. So anyway, all right, here we go. So now, verse in chapter 12, we were looking after the great chapter, Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, then we go to Hebrews 12. Last Sunday, we were talking about Hebrews 12, and this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And remember what we're talking about here, and I was listening to a tape coming home the other day from Illinois, and Brother Brown was talking about this. He said, God's not only, this is the future home. He says, I shake not the earth only, but also the heavens. So he's going to shake both heaven and earth in this end time. Right? He's going to shake it all. But the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Well, the only thing that can't be shaken is God. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth. We can be afraid of many things, but listen, we got to come to a place to where it's settled in our soul. And they might, you know, the world may shake and tumble and rattle and roll, and, but you still got to have an anchor. You got to know that God's in control. But you want Him in control here first. Hebrews 11, that great faith chapter. But remember, as we were talking about, when we come, because look, things that are shaken are what? Have no foundation. Things that are shaken the most have zero foundation to it. All right, but the things that have foundation cannot be shaken, because the faith, like Brother Dale was talking about, faith is that foundation. Look how wide it is. We've got to have a lot of faith. We've got to have twice as much faith as we do brotherly kindness. But if you don't have faith, you can forget about brotherly kindness. So, wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. All right, well, we know, where's the kingdom of God? It's not up in heaven.
That's right.
It's in you. You are the kingdom of heaven. You're the kingdom of God. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. And then also we know that Paul continues his writing. It's just a complete letter. It's not a chapter to Paul. Man put these chapters in here. So he's continued his thought, let brotherly love continue. We've told you many times, they asked Jesus what was the greatest commandment. He said, love the Lord God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Those are the two greatest commandments. Well, wow. You got to love your brother just as much. Your brother, not your natural brother. I'm talking about you got to love your neighbor.
Yes.
Jesus says, okay, you can love your brother, but can you love your neighbor?
Right.
That may persecute you. That, like I said, my two neighbors are gay guys. And you do. I mean, that's part of what you got to do. You got to love them as much as you love yourself.
Right.
That hurts, but still, you got to do that. That's why brotherly kindness is way up here. You got to get all these virtues working in your life before you come to brotherly kindness. Because I'll guarantee you, I can tell you who you like and who you don't like.
That's true.
Everybody in this congregation, I can tell you who you like and who you don't like. But remember what Billy Paul said about Brother Brown. He said, I did not know who his enemies were, and I did not, or his friends and enemies, he treated exactly the same. All right, so that's what we got to come to. And Brother Dale's covered some of that, you know, about shaking hands and greeting people and being cordial and friendly. Because you got to remember, let's stay on brotherly love for just a minute, because brotherly love is not, well, I just love to be around that person. No, that ain't. I'm going to find that quote where Brother Brown said that you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, two brothers, and can't stand to be in the same room together. I mean, that's just personality. That's humanity. But when it comes to the Word of God, you should be able to sit and all that and talk all day. Even if you bitterly disagree, you're supposed to love your brother. Right? That's the problem. We come to a bitter disagreement, and then we go, well, I'm not going to have anything to do with him no more. Well, you're wrong. According to that right there, brotherly love is you love the person as you love yourself. Hard to do. That's why I said it's right there, not down here. Right? But let brotherly love continue. You know, when I was doing the Statue of Perfect Man, when I got to brotherly love, I read all the quotes where Brother Brown was talking about what was brotherly love. He said, you go back to the Bible, where you look in the book of Acts, where they had all things common. They brought all their possessions, they brought all their property, they brought all their money into a central location, and Peter and James and all of them distributed the funds to everybody. The Bible says they had all things common. Well, remember I told you when I was standing upstairs, I said, y'all ready to do that? You ready to bring me and Brother Dale all your money, your title to your cars, your title to your house, your title to your land, all your money, and then let us distribute it out. Some people slid under the seat, some people just, you know. So we're not going to do that because that was the time that they were distributing. If you'll keep reading the quote, Brother Brown said that's where they were distributing the gospel and they needed to do that.
Not a bad idea.
Right. Yeah. So, and it's really not a bad idea, but I'm not going to get into it. To me, that's social reform and that just don't work. So
socialism.
That's socialism. And I don't believe in that. But if you do it with a cheerful heart, if you do it out of love, that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Right? Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Remember we were touched on this last Sunday for a minute. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. We just don't know what's going on in this faster dimension, this other dimension that's out here that we believe there's other dimensions. Brother Brown said God give you an angel at birth. All believers have angels. Right? And the Bible says the angel of the Lord is encamped about those that believe, or in other words, the ones that are born again. Because you know what? The devil's got his eyes on you. He ain't got his eyes on a prostitute. Already got her. She's not born again. But the ones that are born again, it's that power that he felt when he talked to Jesus back in 2,000 years ago. That same power is inside of you. If it is, you got a different God. So when Satan comes up against you, he ought to be able to feel something different. Now, remember, Brother Brown said, if Satan gets you, you went out to him.
That's right.
He didn't get to come in your house. Because
right.
As we were reading the other day in Brother Tim Humes, the unclean spirit goes out of a man, walks into dark places. The unclean spirit goes out. But then he says, I'm going to come back to my house. If you're reading the Bible, Satan says, I'm going to come back to my house. In other words, he came back to his house and found it swept and garnished and it was empty. Well, if you fill it with the Holy Ghost, he surely is not going to come back in. He's going to try.
That's right.
But he's not going to come back in. But if you don't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you get all that junk burned out of you, it's going to come back. It's going to come back worse. It's going to make you think you got something that you don't have. But those who endure to the end will know. It'll be the end of this thing is when we'll see the end or the culmination of this thing is who's going to stand and who won't. Because something's going to... You're going to be shook. I've already read that. You're going to be shook. If heaven consists of the Word, then the Word's going to be shook in you. Somebody's going to come with a false doctrine. Somebody's going to come with an angle with this, with an angle with that. Whatever it is, whatever it might be. And
is that what's happening now because so many people are leaving the message?
Yes. And then see, that's not the worst deception. The worst deception is what's going on up north. So I'm not going to say any more about that.
What's going on?
Well, people telling you that you got to go press play and you don't have need a pastor.
Oh, no,
I'm
out in Indiana.
Up north. That's up in Jeffersonville, Indiana. I mean up in Indiana somewhere.
Wow.
See, that's more deceiving there. Because churches are being shut down. Families are being broke apart. Right. I don't understand. I do understand. Because heaven and earth is going to be shook. Right. But the Word of God, like I told you many, many times before, we're going to read it again today. Faith's final resting place is in the Word of God.
Right.
The Word of God tells us it takes a fivefold ministry to perfect the saints. Not one person. And like I said last Sunday, there were the two witnesses to Israel are not going to take tape recorders over there and play tapes. It's going to be two live people with skin on them. They're going to go over there and they're going to preach Jesus Christ to those people. Okay? So, same way here. Right? And I know we believe that in this church. I just don't want people to get caught up in the... I'm glad that Brother Brown told us that every church was sovereign. So I'll just take that quote and I say, okay, whatever you got to say to me, your dad, or Brother Brown said, Every church is sovereign. So leave me alone.
Right.
So leave me alone.
Right.
Amen? So Amen. It's not going to bother me. If you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's the problem.
That's right.
If you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you'll know. But if you don't, if you've just got some kind of emotion or a feeling or even a good case of sanctification, I've done told you. People are going to run after signs and wonders in the end time. We're hearing it now from preachers that we don't need teaching no more. We need demonstration. That's why I did what I did Sunday. Remember I told you, ask y'all to raise your hand, the ones that have been healed in our... Since we're so dry-eyed teaching people that don't have no manifestation. I don't know what they want. Well, I do know what they want. They want a prayer line coming across and people lay it, and everybody in the whole building gets healed. It's not going to happen.
That's right.
Not going to happen. It's not a public show. It's not going to happen. And that's what's going to be shook. Satan's in this message, folks. Amen. He's not out there. He's in this message.
Amen.
Somebody asked me the other day that I believe there was Jesuits in the message. I said, absolutely. These preachers.
That's right.
There are Jesuit priests in this message.
I heard that.
So, but listen, it will not deceive the elect. It's going to try. Scripture says it will almost deceive the very elect. So if what's going on around the message continues as it is, it's wrong. But if it's just going through a phase, then you know what? God will bring His children back. I promise you He will. But if you're not children to start with, You're just not gonna. You're gonna be deceived. And I was listening to Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed. Brother Claude brought it to my attention. when people say what they do say about we don't need teaching, we need manifestation. They're talking about prayer lines again. They're talking about cancers falling off people, and you know what? That's happened. That's happened. In our congregation last Sunday, almost 95% of the people held their hand up that God had healed them while they'd been going to church here. I've seen cancer. I've seen dead raised. I've seen blinded eyes brought to life. What else do they want? I'm going to ask that person. If I ever see him, I'm going to ask them, what do you mean by we need manifestation? Because God will manifest Himself. I promise you He will. You just hang in there. You just hang in there. Those who endure to the end shall be saved.
That's right.
Somebody told me somebody in this church asked the other person, what do you think about our church? And they both said, Dad is doing it. And I said, well, what are you looking for? I said, the whole church, no whole church in this message is going to be in the message. Brother Brian said,
no.
Believers make believers and unbelievers.
Right.
So, you're not going to see no whole church doing what they're thinking everybody's supposed to do.
No.
Might be a few in there.
But they're going in the pulpit.
I really don't care. I'm going to put this on record. It's going to go out on the internet. But Brother Dale's the kind of guy that doesn't raise babies. He doesn't baby. There's a lot of people in this message that gets into everybody's business, that makes sure, and you know what? I was thinking yesterday. We've not had a split in this church since it started. We have made splits. We've had people come to church here. Brother Richard Wilson and them, Daddy said, go start you a church somewhere.
Right.
Go start you a church somewhere. There's been splits that way, which is wonderful. But just to say that, well, we don't agree with this and we don't agree with that, so we're just going to start our own church. It's never happened. Why? Because Brother Dale, he may be hard and tough, and sometimes I get beat up too, but you know what? You're not babies. Every 15 minutes you ain't got a call and want to know where your pastor's at. What can your pastor do for you? He is the shepherd, but you know what? He's responsible to give you the word. What you do with it.
It's not the stature of a perfect baby.
No, it's not the stature of a perfect baby. You're right. Now, we start out as perfect babies. But a lot of people in this message stay babies. They still desire. Paul said, he had them too. Paul said, desiring the sincere milk of the word.
Sincere.
Yes, very sincere. But he said, but strong meat is for those that are mature, those that don't have to whine all the time and cry. I'd rather have the group that was in Ephesus, the 12, they were right up here. They were right here, those 12 men and women that were in the church of Ephesus. A very powerful church. Why? They were mature. They didn't have to cry to Paul every time they needed something. They didn't have to cry to Peter every time they needed something. Listen, Brother Dale loves you more than anybody in this world will ever love you. But I promise you one thing. You're going to have to search out your own salvation.
Amen.
We have come to a place in this message where we went right back to Catholicism. Preacher, save my kids. Preacher, do this. Preacher, lay your hands on me. It's like what Brother Claude said. He said, be careful when you lay hands on the sick, because if that person gets healed, God doesn't get all the credit. He's right. Because you say, Brother, put somebody's name in there. Brother Dale prayed for me and I got healed. God ain't going to share His glory with nobody. But what about if you're sitting in your seat and Brother Dale's preaching and there's no contact? Then God healed you because you believe the Word of God. You believe what God said. And how many times has that happened in our service? Several times. Cleta told me the other day, she was healed the other day. But when we were preaching, Sister Gail has done the same thing. Regina. A lot of people have been sitting in our congregation. Now, to me, that's the greatest manifestation. Because you come up and be prayed for, well, I get part of the credit. Because I laid my hands on. How many times have you heard people, I laid my hands on?
Yeah, Brother, I'm saying you get healed right in your pew, if you have
enough
faith, you don't have to go
over. That's exactly. Well, it weakens your faith. I read you all that quote. It weakens your faith every time you go to the altar.
Same thing, you know.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
What?
Somebody said, well, Brother, I'm not preaching hair dress and all that. So
those
people here that don't dress right, do right. I told Simon, he said, I ain't preaching the baby.
That's right.
I said, I'm preaching to the bride.
That's right.
I'm getting the bride ready. I'm not
That's right.
getting the
That's
baby.
That's what I told you. I said, I'm not looking to get a bride ready. We have people in our church that can get bride ready because they can get people saved. I want to get a wife ready.
Okay.
The Bible says his wife has made herself ready. Now, Jim and I have been married 40 years. She's my wife. She understands things about me that nobody does, thank God. And nobody understands but her, thank God. Why? Because she's my wife. We know every inch of our person. I don't mean physically, but everything that she can. We can just, what, Mom and Dad the same way. You'll be going down the road and you'll be saying something and June will go, I was thinking the same thing. You know, I mean, you become so one. Well, that's the way God wants us to be. He wants to be our husband. And there's a time when he's our wonderful groom, and when we first walk up the aisle and we first get saved and God gives us all these things. But you know what? Just like me and Jim, this coming up tomorrow. I mean, I'm leaving for 4 days to go hunting. She's not going to be all clingy, calling me every 5 minutes. Do you love me? No. Thank you. I don't want that. That's a baby. That's an immature bride. Now, at first, when we were first together, maybe 40 years ago, I cannot remember. But we might have kept up with each other. There were no cell phones back then, so. There was no cell phones back then. Wow. But you understand what I mean. So what God's trying to do, He's not going to rapture babies. Babies are going to go by the grave and have to die and be resurrected by mature Christians. Because when we stand one day and death comes to bother us or to come to us in any way, Brother Brown said, you'll rub it off of your shoulder. Oh, why? Because you're mature.
Amen.
There's one thing that always says, he said, if you preach Christ to the church and people get the message of the Holy Ghost, you won't have to even worry about their dressing.
No.
Right.
No, that's what I mean. You look at Israel, and when you looked at the whole of Israel, you saw more mixed multitude than you saw the real godly Israel, because you saw the hair in the pants, and you know what I'm bringing it up to now. There's a mixed multitude in the congregation. If that woman's sitting there with paint on her face and she's got bobbed hair, she's number one, she's not a believer.
Right.
Or either she's a real early believer. Like we were talking the other day about Cindy. Cindy came up here years ago, wore pants several times. You know what? We didn't stand at the back door and go, hey, don't you come to church again without a dress on. No, I think Donnie may have talked about that. But we didn't. But when you come to Revelation, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about these things. To me, see, that's a baby. And don't get me wrong, it's like I was telling you last Sunday. There are teachers, I'm stuck. There are teachers of kindergartners, but they're teachers. There's teachers of high school, and there's teachers of college. All right, so you got graduation times all the way up through there. So what Brother Dale, I believe in myself too, is we've come to a place to where we're trying to get the people ready for a rapture, not ready to be born again. Now he has dropped back though, and what's he preaching on now? Salvation. Simple salvation. But in simple salvation, if you start right, yield yourself to God, you'll come up to Him. But if you don't start right, that's why that Brother Brown said, he said, born-again woman won't put on a pair of pants, born-again woman won't cut her hair. Well, if you see a sister walking around in our church with her hair cut, trim, or with makeup on, or whatever more you want to say, all that laundry list of things, and she continues that, and she's been sitting in the church for 10 years. She ain't born again. She's not listening. It's going in one ear and out the other one. And you know what? You can't tell them people anything. They're not ready to receive the truth because they want to walk. But you know what? I asked Daddy one time, I said, how do you pull up with these people? It's been a long time ago. He said, they pay the bills. God could put you in this church and you'd be as dead as a hammer. Yet He wants you to fund part of what's going on in this church. Don't you think God will do that? Yeah, He'll do that. He wants you to be born again, but you know what? God knows that you won't. So He's going to use you anyway. He's going to help you. He's going to help us by putting that person in the seat. Don't tell me, listen, we got 100 and something people in our church. They're not all born again. I wish. And there are, like I said before, we're not trying to leave them. But there comes a time when Paul said, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, of laying on of hands, and all these other things. Baptism, you say, well, we've got to do away with baptism. No, it's that you don't have to be baptized again. Your baptism was right. Forget it. Sister Jeannie was baptized the other day again, but she wanted to get it settled. She wanted to get it settled in her mind. And that's fine. I had no problem with that.
I was supposed to be.
Do what?
I was supposed to be.
Oh, okay.
You know, way God told Milton the other day, she was asking about that. You know, your bride is so long. Your wife, if you, like,
oh, yeah,
us, 61 years.
Right.
I've been a wife.
Right.
I was a bride for a few days.
Right.
One day, actually.
Right.
One day, actually.
Right.
Bride.
But you know, you remember, it's just like that. It's like Mom said, some of you hadn't been married, don't know this, but even with Francine, we met them. How long have you been married? 31 years. Well, we met you when she was a baby, so she's 28. Hey, I'm telling the world. She's available and 28. Any born-again young man would like to... She's moving to Canada, but that's okay.
Tell her name, Wayne.
But 31 years, you know, when I met Keith and Francine, I mean, they were just lovebirds, and they still are. But you know what? You don't have to do that clingy and all that. It's like Brother Brown said, I can take a letter and open it up. Now, if you've been husband and wife for a long time, I could be sitting up in Illinois, and June sent me an email, and I know exactly what she's doing at that time by what she's writing and exactly what she's thinking. That's that love letter, the in-between the lines that God has wrote to His bride, that we, at any moment, we can read this thing here that we call a love letter, and we can read what God wants. To me, I've done told you that. That's the essence of the Bible and the essence of the message, because Paul says the letter killeth. This Bible in letter form is going to kill a lot of people. Literally. Kill a lot of people. But if you take the essence of what God's talking about and you bring it into your heart, then you know what He's saying.
Right.
You know? He said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. What's going on? We got a revelation. We know because what? We've become wife. But I love that in Revelation 19 where it says, His wife has made herself ready. Now, we're always going to be a bride. But she's a wife. Brother Brown said the bride in the end time will know what he wants to do with the word. So if you don't know what to do with the word, then go back down here. But Brother Brown said you can't get right here without having this and this.
That's right.
Right? We're not going to get nowhere. That's right. So you got to really, your three processes of grace continues on to the change of the body. Because your true day that you're truly baptized with the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the day when your body is changed back to a young man and a woman and we step over in another dimension.
Amen.
That's when it will culminate for us. But it's not over. Remember, he's got to go turn to the Jews, and then he's got 144,000, then he's got a fifth sealed Jew, and then he's got the millennium. Then there's a lot of things goes on, but you and I are resting, as Paul said, we're resting knowing that that we pass from death into life. Okay? But maturity, the problem with people, they caught the message of the hour. I believe some people caught the message of the hour as do's and don'ts. And as coming out of Pentecost, because I was thinking this yesterday, and I read this quote the other day, where Brother Brown said, when the bride begins to say, I and my Father are one. See, you can take a message to people and preach it to them, and they're like, whoa, what do you mean I am the I am? What do you mean I am the resurrection? What do you, like I preached here, well, I went and preached it somewhere else, and you could feel a little bit of, I mean, they enjoyed the sermon, but it's like, hey, you've gone too far. No, we ain't gone far enough. When the bride begins to say, I and my Father, and I read John 17 to y'all the other day. No, I didn't. I read it to you. He says that I pray that as you and I are one. Jesus was praying to the Father, as the Father and I are one, so they should be one like we are one. Now, how's Jesus and the Father one? Two? He's the very essence of the Father. So we must be the very essence of the Father. Because we're joint heirs with Christ. We read that in Romans. Romans 8,
Jesus
we're joint heirs
God
with Christ.
God manifested in the tabernacle.
One man.
Like us. We
that's
are.
Right. Well, when Hebrews 10 and 5 says, the body thou hast prepared me. A body? You say, oh, that's Jesus, not you. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. And Word was God. Well, were you separate? Were you a separate person? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, yes. First fruits, yes. But you know what? Being first fruit, there's fruit behind that. A whole field of fruit. So see, when you start saying, "I and my Father are one," Brother Brown said, "The shut," which is what? Pentecostal people, which is what? Shouting, speaking in tongues, dancing, prayer lines. They had to all come through that. And you know what? I'm not against it. I'm just saying we don't need it. I'm not against it. I'm not against laying. Because the Bible does say lay hands on the sick. But it doesn't say scream, shout, slap them, and knock them on the floor. And it doesn't say put them in a prayer line. It says lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I've seen my daddy many times. Somebody say, well, I got a backache. He'll work his way around the congregation or he'll be outside. And he'll walk up to that brother and shake his hand. And he'll put his hand right on the back. Never say a word. Shake his hand, put his hand right on his back, and walk off. You know what he's done? He's prayed for that person. So that's the way it should be. And that's the way I like it for this church. Everybody, you can say we're as dry hide as whatever you want to be. I really don't care. I'm getting something. We're going somewhere. Somebody is going somewhere. Right? And it may be just 5 of us or 10 of us. I wish it was all 100, but it's not going to be. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's just not. But for those that catch it, then you're going to be a Christian. Let me finish my point. I was listening to Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. Coming back from Illinois, that's a good thing because, you know, it's 8 hours, so you can listen to 2-3 hour sermons. You ain't even got home yet. So I listened to The Future Home and Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. So, but Brother Brown says, he stops and he says, he keeps singing, he keeps quoting, he keeps singing, he keeps quoting. And then he says, look at the clock. He said, it's exactly 2 o'clock. The end of the second pull. Now, what was the second pull? First pull was taking the people by the hand. Second pull was the discernment of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, that's what everybody wants now. They want to go back to that. He said, second pull is ended. And I'm like Brother Claude said. He said, I don't know what they don't get about end. But if he says the second pull is ended, the third pull is at hand, which is the opening of the Word, speaking of the Word, speaking the word, and let it manifest itself. Because remember, all Israel is not Israel. All bride is not bride. There will be a bride, there's no doubt. But there is going to be a mature wife that you don't have to tell them to come to church. You don't have to tell them to pay their tithe. You can see people, you can stand and see people that struggle because of these simple things. Not paying your tithe, not coming to church every Sunday. You can see those people. They struggle all the time. All the time. All the time. I mean, it's so obvious, it's not obvious to them, I guess. But just doing the simple things, the ABCs. Foundation, remember it's really wide. A lot of things to work on down here, but see as you get a little bit further up here.
Growing up.
You're growing up to a point where Christ is the head. That's Christ. But you know what? That's not only Christ. This is His body. And the body is what does the what? The moving. Exercise.
The work.
The work. Yes, that's the body that does the work. Well, that's us. That's the body that does the work. And we've got to what? Verse 2. Be not forgotten to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember the story about the guy wanting something from God, and he sends him this guy by, and he sends him the baker, and he sends him another guy by, and he sends him this guy by, and he says, Lord, you haven't appeared to me yet. He said, I sent you three people to help you, and you didn't take him. So, entertain angels unaware. Right? Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. Now, that's not... We're talking about people that are... And don't get me wrong. We're not throwing babies. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You try to nurture that baby. But you can only do so much because it's a two... I mean, it's your free moral agency that does it. You stop anytime you want to. Remember they are in bonds, and we do. We try to break that bond. Brother Dale said, just like Brother Graham said, we just try to break the spell over your eyes so you can see Christ, not us. That's the whole problem. We go, well, I go to church. I go to Spoken Word Church. I go to Little. No, you go to church to see Christ.
Amen.
Remember they are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. In other words, Brother Brown said, brotherly kindness, what did he say? Put yourself in that person's place. Right? Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. He's talking about spiritual too. Marriage is honorable. We're just talking about being in the body of Christ. To get in the body of Christ, to be a bride, you got to have a bridegroom. I've never seen a bride go up to the altar by herself. Of course, in this world, you've got several different things going on. In this world, you've got two of the same things going up there, you know, all that junk. But marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness. In other words, everybody said, and it is a good example, but let me finish my conversation. I want to be like Brother Dale. I don't want to be like Brother Dale. I want to be like Christ.
Right.
And if Christ is in Brother Dale, then I'll see that in him.
Amen.
And I don't want to be, because there's a lot of things Daddy does that I don't like. There's a lot of things I do he don't like. A lot of things each of us do in the human part that we don't like. But if spiritually, you got a headship. And Brother Dale is the headship of the church, but Christ is the head above him. Christ is the head. Okay? But thank God that he give us positions that you can depend on, because you do need to put your faith in something. We put our faith in things that are not seen. But then when God sends us a message and sends us a good pastor and a good teacher and a good thing, when He sends us to good people here, then you know what? Reap that benefit.
Alright,
reap that benefit. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Who had their hand up?
Okay. Where it says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Does that mean don't talk about yourself?
Well, no. Covet just meant, what is covet? Don't covet thy neighbor, no. Covet means I want what she's got.
I want what Brother Dale's got.
Right, that's what I was just saying. That was my whole point. I don't... Covetousness is not greedy of filthy lucre, not loving money, nor avaricious. which means I don't want to be, you know, and that's what happens in the world. People go, I want to have what this person has because they're rich and famous and they got a big car and they got a big house. And as a Christian, you should never want that. You should be what? Your conversation, what's Paul saying? He's run up against people. He's run up against people that says, well, Paul, I want this. You remember all them people that hung around Paul?
Yes.
That wanted this, the Simon the sorcerer and all them, that woman and all, they all wanted what Paul wanted.
Yes.
Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. They weren't looking at Christ, they were looking at Paul. So their conversation was coveting what Paul had.
Right.
Okay, I want what Brother Dale's got, but in Christianity, not in all the other things.
And the other thing that we're going to look at is, in order for God to bless us, we have to be where He wants us to be. So if we're trying to be like someone else, we're actually going against what blesses God.
You're actually degrading what God's given you.
Right.
You know, when I first started preaching, I thought, well, man, if I had hair like Homer Longore, if I could preach like Donnie Reagan, I'd be fine. But you know what? God told me, he said, shut up. I made you the way you are. You do what you need to do, and they can do what they want to do.
You do a lot better than God.
So, anyway, all right, well, we got to go. I mean, we're 5 minutes fast now, so. But Lord bless you. We'll start this right here, verse 5, next Sunday.
And listen,
they may not put the quotes up on the screen. We don't have nobody here. Josh is going to try, but you just have to deal with it this Sunday. Johnny, I know. Yeah. I'm with you. I got you.
Wait, but I used to do it, and Sister Dale told me about it.